As it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and the third part of the sea became blood. And the third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died, and the third part of the ships were destroyed. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became wormwood, and many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so that the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpets of the three angels, which are yet to sound. As we get to Revelation chapter 8, we noticed last week in verse number 1 that it is the opening of the seventh seal. The previous six seals have already been opened. The tribulation period is in full swing. We have seen the four horsemen come out. We've seen the martyrs under the altar. We've seen the sinners on the earth crying out because the wrath of the Lamb has begun to fall upon them. Then we saw that there was a pause in heaven as God came down and sealed His 144,000 Jewish witnesses that were to go to all the world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. And after that sealing is done, now is the opening of that seventh seal. We read in the first half of this chapter last week that the Lord gives to each of the seven angels a trumpet that they're going to sound. And one at a time, beginning in chapter 8 and verse 7, these seven angels begin to sound their trumpets. We are now halfway through the first half of the tribulation period. The tribulation is 7 years. The first, they're divided into two halves of 3.5. When we get to chapter 10, we will reach the midpoint of the tribulation. And the seven seals and the seven trumpets all occur within those first 3.5 years. So we are now 2 to 2.5 years into the tribulation period. Because when those horses were released, those four horsemen, when the first seal was opened and that white horse came out, which was the Antichrist with his propaganda trying to convince the world that he was Christ and to worship him, that went on for several months. The Bible does not give us a timetable. But that took a period of time before those that would accept him did and those that would reject him did. And after that, the red horse came out where he began to make war on those that did not accept him as the rider of the white horse. So that takes several months of time up. After the war came the black horse with famine that followed after the war. And that famine took several months. Then the pale horse with death and hell riding upon it. And so a lot of time has been, if we can say it this way, eaten up into the tribulation period where we are now 2 to 2.5 years into it. And yet those two and a half years that have been so awful and so terrible, as we've seen them described, have not even gotten us halfway through the first half of the tribulation period. If I can say that to simply amplify this, it is going to be a terrible time. It is going to be like nothing nobody has ever seen before. You take the greatest tragedies on earth. You take things like the Holocaust. You take things like starvation in deprived nations. You take all those things and roll it up into one ball worldwide for 3.5 years. And that's the first half of the tribulation period. It's not going to be an easy time. And for those that are left behind when the church is called out, that is what they've got to look for. That is their future. They might scoff at it now and mock at it now, but boy, they won't do it then. So this evening we arrive at that midway point of the first half of the tribulation, 2 to 2.5 years into it, and we see now the sounding of the first four trumpets. Each of these trumpets we'll see tonight when they sound, a devastation takes place on the earth. Each one of these trumpets is God's further judgment. Again, in chapter 8 and verse 1, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. There was a pause before these four trumpets began to sound, and God's wrath began to be made fresh and new on these seven trumpets as it was on the seven seals. We're going to see in these verses, first of all, the first angel in verse 7, we'll see the scorching. For those of you that are writing down or taking notes or outlining it to help to understand it better, in verse 7 is the scorching. The second angel sounds in verse 8 and 9, and that's the sea. The sea will be affected when the second angel sounds. In verse 10 and 11, the third angel sounds, and we see a star. We'll talk about its name and what it means in verse 10 and 11. And then verse 12 and 13, when the fourth angel sounds, it affects the sky. The scorching, the sea, the star, the sky, there is nowhere that is safe from God's judgment. It is going to be all-encompassing, nowhere to run, nowhere to hide. We read back in Revelation chapter 6 at the very beginning of this period of time that men would run into the rocks and run into the caves and ask for the rocks to fall upon them and kill them and hide them from the face of the Lamb. And God will not do it. His wrath will be everywhere. Notice if we would, as we look in verse number 7 then, the first angel sounded and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood. And they were cast upon the earth. Hail and fire mingled with blood. You're familiar with the plagues of Egypt. And the eighth plague is recorded in Exodus chapter 9 verse 18 was the plague of hail and fire. The hail came down from heaven, and as it came, it was like little balls of fire. Well, I don't know how little these are going to be in Revelation chapter 8 and verse 7, but the trumpet's going to sound, and there's going to be hail falling down from heaven and fire mingled with blood. Can you imagine raindrops, as we had just rain pass through recently? Can you imagine raindrops, not of water, but raindrops of blood? When it drips on your shoulder and it drips on your nose and it then hits your head and you begin to see it coming down around you, and then mingled with that blood is hail and fire coming down out of heaven. As the Bible says, as they come down, they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burnt up. A third part. Notice that's instrumental, because when we see the ceiling, the opening of the bowls later on, we're going to see another third of everything burned up. So it's in increments as God's judgment is poured out. It says a third part of the trees was burned up, and all green grass. As God rains down this hail and fire mingled with blood upon the earth, one third of all the trees and all the green grass is going to be burned up. Think about those that spend their time manicuring their lawns. Making sure it's just, have you ever seen those people like Better Homes and Garden, whatever? They go out and measure their blades of grass to make sure they're just the right height and set their lawnmower at just the right thing, and they edge around it and they do everything and make all the yard perfect. Now, that's fine. You got the time to do that and you want to do it. That's up to you. But realize that one of these days, that's all going to be burned up. It's going to be scorched. Now, the grass isn't going to disappear. We're going to find it later on in chapter 9 when the locusts get loose and the grass is there. But now it's brown. It's scorched. It's there, but it's not worth anything. You know what the great disaster of this is? Is not only those things falling from heaven and the panic it will bring upon the inhabitants of the earth and the scorching of the grass and the burning of one-third of all the trees. I mean, I sit on my back porch this afternoon as I'm going over my notes, and I look out and behind me is Wills Creek and just trees all lined up along it, and big, beautiful trees this time of year with the green leaves. And imagine one third of all those trees now is going to be scorched and burned up by this fire. That's an ecological disaster. Because if you remember in your science class, the green grass, the leaves on the trees, they produce oxygen so that the world can exist and the world can breathe. And that's going to be limited by the scorching of the earth when God sends down this fire from heaven. The drought that's going to take place. The dryness that's going to take place. It'll have an effect on the water in just a minute. And men will be crying out for thirst, as the man did when he cried out from hell. The scorching of the earth that takes place. Hail and fire mingled with blood, burning up a third part of the trees and all the green grass. It's going to be, thank you, Mr. Gore, it's going to be global warming at its fullest. God is going to burn up this earth. I think we saw it in a message, I guess it was last Sunday night in 2 Peter, that the elements will melt with a fervent heat. God is going to do that. He's going to rain down from heaven in the tribulation period. All these things are going to happen as the first angel sound. I don't know how long that lasts. I don't know how long the fire and the scorching takes, if it's days or if it's weeks or if it's months of it going on continually till all these things are consumed according to the plan of God. But the minute that disaster passes, that ecological disaster is over, the minute it happens and they think, phew, we've survived this one over 3 months or whatever period of time, we've gotten through it, we've hung on, we've survived, we've gotten through this, we're okay. God, you couldn't do anything. You couldn't harm us. You couldn't hurt us. The minute they do that, another trumpet sounds. Look at verse number 8. And the second angel sounded. And as it were, notice those words, as it were. That means it's not a great mountain burning with fire, but is as it were a great mountain. You know, you can watch science fiction movies. I think one of them was Armageddon, where these guys were sent up in this skycraft or something to go blow up this giant piece of meteor that was headed to the earth. Isn't it amazing how many science fiction movies follow a biblical pattern? How many of them, if you ever hear the storylines, I don't have to go watch any of them. I hear people talk about it. I say, hey, that's in the Bible. I've read that already. And it's something about this giant meteor or piece of some planet or something coming down that's going to destroy the earth if it hits here. That's Bible. That's recorded in the book of Revelation. That's what we're reading about. And it was as it were a great mountain burning with fire. And it was cast into the sea. You know, the Lord said, if you had the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and it would help. It would happen. If we just had the faith of a grain of mustard seed. I think it's interesting that the Lord in the tribulation period will show man how small his faith was. Because God will take that mountain and he will cast it into the midst of the sea. And what follows when it happens? It says this, and a third part of the sea became blood. When that burning mountain, as it were mountain, that burning chunk of ground is thrown into the sea probably here is the Mediterranean. Because that is the sea that borders Israel, the Holy Land, Palestine, all those different, and the Mediterranean Sea is a major trade route of all the nations and will be a major trade route in the tribulation when Babylon is reestablished and everything's commerce is flowing and all that. And so that is the place where God puts this mountain down into the midst of that sea. And when it happens, a third part of the sea became blood. Why? Verse 9. And a third part of the creatures which were in the sea and had life died. God is working in thirds because God is a three. He is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The gospel is the death and the burial and the resurrection. God works in threes. Man is a body, a soul, and a spirit. And God destroys one third of all the creatures in the sea. That whale we talked about in Sunday school that swallowed Jonah, now probably not the same one, it's probably dead. But all those creatures that are in the sea, all of the sea life, which is a great multitude, will die instantly, and the waters, naturally, will become blood. Now the question is, which comes before which? Do they turn into blood that kills the creatures in the sea, which is the order it's kind of given in Scripture, or do the creatures in the sea die and it becomes blood? I don't know which way it goes, I just know this. A third part is going to be blood, and a third of all the creatures in the sea are going to die, and the Bible says, and a third part of the ships were destroyed. So not only is there an ecological disaster, but there's an economic disaster. Because one third of all the cargo, one third of all the ships sailing in the Mediterranean, and the Mediterranean is a key place of transport for military, for commerce, and God is going to come down with all the ships that are traveling across that sea, and in a moment, by the casting in of that, I don't know, you know, somebody has suggested that the casting into that mountain will cause a tsunami. And the waves will be so big that one third of all the creatures will die and one third of all the ships. I don't know if that's how it works or not. I just know that God tells us that when this thing happens, that one third of all the ships will be destroyed, including the men that are upon them, the cargo that are there, and the economic condition of the world will be affected by God's judgment when the second angel sounds. Verse number 10. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven. Now that star was not a Hollywood star. It's amazing what commentators do with these things to try to water down the judgment of God. Say, preacher, what do you think that star is? I think it's, you know, like twinkle, twinkle, little star. I think it's that little five-sided thing that you see up in the sky all the time. A great star, I don't know which one, but a great star is going to fall from heaven. And the Bible says, there a great star came from heaven, burning as it were a lamp. This is almost like that burning mountain that just fell. But now something from farther out, a star is going to fall from heaven. And it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. See, someone could say this in the tribulation when that first trumpet sounds and that first trumpet sounds and everything's scorched and you survive that because you've got water to drink. You can get through that heat. You can get through that terrible judgment because you've got the fountains of the waters. You've got the rivers and the lakes to drink from. Then God comes with that second trumpet and all the seas are affected. And you say, that's fine. Salt water, I'm not a fan of that anyways. We don't drink that, we'll be fine. But now when the third angel sounds, it's wiping out the very essence of life. Water. And all of the clear water, all of the drinking water, all of the fresh water, lakes and streams are affected when the third angel sounds. God is eliminating one after another all the necessities of life for those that are living during the tribulation period. And it says, it fell upon the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters, burning as it were a lamp. The sea water has already been affected. Now the fresh water is being affected. And verse 11 says, and the name of that star is called Wormwood. You know what the Bible tells us back in Psalm 147 and verse 4? Psalm 147 and verse 4, the Bible says this, He telleth the number of the stars, He calleth them all by their names. God has every star numbered and every star named. I remember several years ago, I don't remember if it was Christmas time or what time of the year it was, but the scientific community, there was an advertisement on the radio, and it was simply this, and I'm putting it in my own words. I don't remember how they did it. There's so many stars up there that are yet undiscovered that now with our telescopes that reach farther and farther out into the galaxy and the universe, science is discovering every day a new star. And if you would like to have a star named after you for $39.99 and postage paid, if you will just send in this money and go in, you will have a star. Better yet, have your loved ones name put on that star. We will attach your loved ones. We will name that. Can I tell you, the names are already taken. God's already named all the stars. Man can have some fun like that and make some money off it, because if it doesn't make sense, there's a buck in it somewhere. Man will do that. But God says He's already got all the stars numbered and all the stars named. And this star that falls from heaven is not LeBron James. This star that falls from heaven is not, I'm trying to name a movie star. There's one named Pitt. Whatever. Brad Pitt. There we go. It's not Brad Pitt. This star is called Wormwood. It's got a name already. And the Bible says the name of that star is called Wormwood. You know what Wormwood means? Every name in the Bible means something. I don't know what Lois means when it's changed to Lewis, but every name in the Bible has a meaning to it. And the name Woodward means bitter. And that's exactly what we see in verse 11. And the name of the star is called Wormwood. And the third part of the waters became Wormwood. And many men died of the waters because they were made bitter. Can you imagine a star from outer space, a star from the heavens burning as it were a lamp, striking the supply and the fountains of fresh water and all the cosmic gases that are involved in that thing when it hits the earth. And those gases are transferred into the fresh water supply of planet earth. And men, because of the scorching, men, because of the heat, are surviving on the fresh water, and they drink it and they die because the waters have been made bitter. That's why they cry out, "Hide us from the face of the Lamb," because there's nowhere they can get clear from His wrath. Oh, they've survived the first angel, the second angel, now the third angel. And just maybe as they think they're going to get through this somehow, they've stocked up enough bottled water to get through the tribulation period. The fourth angel sounds in verse 12. And the fourth angel sounded, and a third part of the sun was smitten. And a third part of the moon. I forgot to mention in chapter 11, when the star was falling, that produces an atmospheric disaster. We've seen an ecological disaster. We've seen an economic disaster. We see an atmospheric disaster. And now, when the third part of the sun and the third part of the moon and the third part of the stars were darkened, we have an astrological disaster. One after another, God is eliminating the things that men worship. You remember the plagues of Egypt. Every one of those plagues was associated with something that the Egyptians worshiped. In the tribulation period, God is knocking off one thing after another to prove to the inhabitants of the earth that He is God, because they can still make it. If they will turn against the Antichrist and turn against all these things and believe the preaching of the 144,000 witnesses and treasure their lives not to death and are willing to pay that price, they can still make it to heaven. But it's going to come at a great price, as God is knocking off one thing after the other on the as the fourth trumpet sounds, the third part of the sun and a third part of the moon and a third part of the stars were darkened. By the time those bowls come out, these things will all be completely wiped away. The astrological disaster will affect both health and harvest. Your health is affected by the sun, the moon, and the stars. They tell us up in the places of Alaska that have the long, prolonged darkness that the suicide rates are the highest. They tell us that even in our climate, when the winter days come and it's dark at 4:30 in the afternoon and not yet light still at 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning, when we have those prolonged darkness, that it affects us physically, physiologically, emotionally. We're affected by light and darkness. Isn't that an amazing thing? And when God smites the third part of the sun and the third part of the moon and the third part of the stars, and all these things happen, health and harvest are going to be affected. It says, "And the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise." There seems to be not a reduction in the daylight hours, but a diminishing of the power of the lights by one third. The sun will still rise at whatever time it rises in the morning, but it'll only have two thirds its power. One third of that power has been diluted. It has been diffused by God. The sun doesn't disappear. The moon doesn't disappear. The stars, but their power has been lowered by one third as that fourth angel sounds. It's interesting to note that it's on the fourth day back in Genesis chapter 1 that God made the sun, the moon, and the stars. And it is this fourth trumpet that sounds to diminish these lights. In verse number 13, the chapter concludes with this. John says, "And I beheld and heard an angel flying through the midst of heaven, saying with a loud voice, 'Woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of the other voices of the trumpet.'" There's seven trumpets. We've just looked at four. There's three more to come. These four. The first trumpet was one verse, verse 7. The second trumpet was two verses, 8 and 9. The third trumpet was two verses, 10 and 11. And the fourth trumpet was one verse, verse 12. One to two verses to describe each of the first four trumpets, as devastating as they will be. And yet when that fifth trumpet sounds, it's half a chapter. And when that sixth trumpet sounds, it's half a chapter. When we get into chapter 9 and see that fifth and sixth trumpet sound, it's not just this happened and this happened and then this happened. No, there's some great detail that goes in to these next three trumpets that sound. So that angel flies through heaven at this point in time while those that have survived the seven seals and now have survived four of the trumpets and are wiping their brow, so to speak, and thinking we've gotten through it. An angel flies through heaven and says, woe, woe, woe. Three woes. Because there's still the fifth, the sixth, and the seventh trumpet to sound. Just when you think you've made it through, just when you think you can't take any more, there is much more to come. As an angel flying through heaven, God uses angels as His messengers. 70 times in the book of Revelation, we read about angels being used of God to pronounce this judgment, to pour out this judgment, to do whatever is necessary to do here. And here, this angel flies through heaven. Again, I always get a kick out of reading New Bible versions, and the New Bible versions in this verse say, and I beheld and heard an eagle. I heard an eagle flying through the sky, proclaiming, saying, woe, woe, woe. I wrote to somebody a few years ago and asked them about that verse, and they said, well, it really doesn't matter. Angels fly and eagles fly, it really doesn't matter. That was their educated response to that. And that was one of the men that was on the head of one of the Bible translation committees. He said, it really doesn't matter if it's an eagle or an angel. And I thought, it does. It matters if it's a Bible or a phone. Yeah. All right, we're living in days where people can't differentiate between two different things. It doesn't matter if it's an eagle or an angel. I bet it matters to God. And it'll matter in the tribulation because one of those is going to fly through heaven. And I'd take a wild guess that it's the one the Bible says it's going to be an angel going through heaven proclaiming, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth for the three trumpets that are yet to sound. We're not halfway through. We're not 3.5 years through the tribulation period. And these are the things that are going on this earth we live in right now. And those people that we see at Walmart and see in the restaurants and see each and every day of our life, if they're not saved and the Lord comes back tonight or tomorrow and catches the redeemed home, those that have trusted Jesus Christ, their Savior, and committed their heart and life to Him, He will remove them before this begins. And all those that are out there right now, if the rapture happened tonight and these plagues began tomorrow, if that white horseman showed up tomorrow, followed by the red one and the black one and the pale one, all these things would be going on faster than they could comprehend what they're doing. Getting through one disaster after the other, thinking, we survived it, we survived it, only to hear another trumpet sound. We've been warned. We've been told. We have a responsibility to tell others. Let's stand together tonight with our heads bowed and our eyes closed.